I'm so glad to spend some time on relationships because the Bible has so much to say about our relationships. And I want to move on to something that I felt God's leading, and I kept going back and forth, and right before I just felt certain, so I switched my summer series back and starting a series on healing today. And I'm just so excited about the Master's hand. There's a lot of areas in life that God can heal, that God does heal. And I just feel his calling to do that and start that with you today. And we're going to be in Luke 8, and it's a pretty intense story. And I just want to ask God right now. Heavenly Father, we just ask for your work in us, your work of healing, Lord, that if there's some healing that needs to happen right now in any of us here today, we just ask you to start that work right now. Lord, we look to you, we need you, and we affirm that. And we ask you to bless this time we could spend in this word that we hear, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to Luke 8 with me. One of the most striking things in ministry was Jesus' encounter with evil spirits. You know, when I was a kid, I'd see stuff on TV. I'd see like a devil and an angel on a shoulder, you know, and I didn't know if it was just adults that had that or if that was kids or what was going on there, you know, and it often gets treated kind of lighthearted, but it's a really serious subject in Scripture. And evil spirits are a part, they're around Jesus. They seem to come out of the woodwork when Jesus arrives sometimes. And honestly, the very first thing that happens in Jesus' ministry is encountering evil spirits. And so this series on healing, I didn't initially think of it this way, but this is really the way it has to start. The Bible is clear about demons that they do not hold power over Jesus. Amen. And this is really important for us as Christians. We need to look this topic straight in the eye and rejoice in God's truth because Jesus has the victory. And that's all over the pages of Scripture. And I want to look at that with you. Would you stand with me in honor of his word? And again, Luke 8, this holds an actual real story. Unlike our culture, which has a lot of laughs and also some kind of half-truths about evil spirits, this is a real story. And so I want to look at it with you all, from Luke 8, verses 26 through 35. Speaking of Jesus and his disciples, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I'm curious, who has ever heard this story before? I didn't ask who has heard and remembered it, because if you've heard it, you've remembered it, right? Very memorable. We love stories about Jesus, but man, some of them are intense. He and his disciples land a boat at a cemetery. They're accosted by a man who lived as an animal. This man, in his description, we hear he's dehumanized. He didn't have a home or wear clothes anymore. He was an outcast from society. He lived among death and was dead to the world around him. He had no hope, no future, and no even identity of his own. For understandable reasons, too, because he was tormented by demons, we hear. And while scripture tells of the townspeople's failed attempts to restrain him, we never hear why. Was he loud? Was he disturbing? Was he violent? All those things make sense, but we don't hear. Luke calls what was in him an impure spirit. And we can just imagine, we can just visualize the twisted presence by what it did to him. We get other hints from other gospels that not even chains could hold him. And there were many demons. They perhaps came and went from his psyche, or they all just came and amassed in him. We don't know. They did with him as they pleased. What's amazing is that even though he could not be restrained by anyone, the evil in him was immediately subdued by the master. The presence of Jesus stopped them. They were powerless before Jesus. The demons in the man implored Christ. Verse 28. What do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. This is one of the many instances where the people around Jesus weren't sure who he was, but the evil spirits knew. They were immediately begging for mercy. They asked him not to get the judgment they deserved, but Jesus is in no negotiating mood. The next question Jesus asked, I'm not sure if he asked the man or the representative demon inside him, but he asked what his name was. And honestly, it's a little awkward reading this scripture because we can't tell when the demons are speaking and when it's the man. So fragmented is his existence that we don't know. At any rate, the demons spoke up. Legion. In the Roman military, a legion was thousands of soldiers. The demons begged Jesus not to be sent into the abyss. Later, we learn from Revelation that abyss is a temporary holding place for evil spirits. I just grabbed the scriptures that are in Revelation about the abyss. It's right at the end of the Bible. And so they're held there temporarily, and the evil spirits are until an appropriate time comes, and then comes their final judgment. And that's it. You can read more in Revelation. And so Jesus hears that request, and he exorcises the demons. He kicks them out. And Mark 5 tells us that 2,000 pigs rushed down the embankment to their doom. And so we have one man freed from all these demons. It's intense and unforgettable. And we're left looking at awe on this countryside, the work of God. What do we make of this? Why is this in the Bible, and what does it mean for us today? Well, let's consider that together. It means a few things. First of all, Jesus holds the victory over all the evil forces. We thank God. Amen. Amen. As Jesus began his work, the spiritual clash of kingdoms is immediate. You see it in chapter 4 when he announces his ministry. The Gospels consistently show exorcisms as one of Jesus' healing works. It often comes first. Does Jesus attack the demons, or are they attacking him because he's immediately on their turf? We can't tell. It's just, it happens everywhere he goes, it seems, especially when he's in Gentile lands like he is here. And that's part of the point here. The clash is immediate. And a lot of us wonder, well, how come we don't see demons? We only hear about possession sometimes. What's going on? Psychologists, for instance, don't talk about possession much. They talk about a lot of things, and some of it sounds like possessions. At the end of his career, Scott Peck did. As a scientist, he wrote a book about possession. And he agrees with the long, true teachings of the church. In his work with disturbed individuals, he had some real experiences with demons. And so he says, along with the church, that demons only possess some people. And because God restrains their power, you have to consent to it. When I was younger, I thought making a deal with the devil was just a story. It was good for the Twilight Zone. I mean, there were some great episodes, right? But not anything that people actually did. But I've been amazed at how many Christian testimonies I've read and heard now where people actually invite demonic powers into their lives in exchange for something, usually money or power or fame or success, something. I thought that was just fairy tales and cautionary stories, but people do this even to this day. In fact, Right now, we're hearing of a rise of practice in the occult, witchcraft, astrology, Eastern religions, New Age practices, even hallucinogenic drugs now. I'm hearing stories that some of them are pretty scary. I just want to remind us, these things invite demons into the lives of practitioners. We need to be so careful with our lives and what we do. Beware of what happens if you seek the cult power. New Age spirituality. I know we don't talk about it a lot on Sunday mornings, but it's just vital that we hear this warning afresh. Stay away from the powers of the evil one. They offer nothing without chains and nothing that's eternal. Only what harms. I heard a really incredible story. How many have heard of the Jesus film? It's a long ministry. It's been going on for a long time, and these teams will travel through various places in the world with a projector to show the picture, the visual story of Jesus. And a lot of times they set up a screen and people sit on both sides of the screen because people just aren't even really used to like screens and projectors and all that kind of stuff. And they'll hear it translated in their language, and tremendous stories they share the gospel and churches are started. And one of my favorites was in Tanzania. There was a young man named Amoni. In Tanzania, he was preparing himself to inherit his father's witches because he wanted to be a witch doctor. And so he would go to the graveyard, and one of the times he was on his way back from the graveyard, he passed by where they were showing the Jesus film. He saw the story of Jesus telling the demons to go into the pigs, and he saw that happen. And he said when it happened, he felt demonic powers leave him. And he cried out, "My power is gone. What's happening?" And it's amazing. He stopped and he watched that. And afterwards, he talked with the Jesus film team and they shared with him the gospel and he gave his heart to Jesus. And he said, "I want that power in my life and not this other power." I just thought that was so hilarious that through the movie screen, he lost his powers. But I believe it because Jesus is the one who breaks the power of the evil one. And we can rejoice in that. And I just want to say, if you need to gain victory, if you've ever felt pestered by evil, there's four things you can do right away. Pray. Read or recite scripture. Call a friend. Go to church. And I just thought of another one that kind of goes with these. Just saying the name of Jesus sometimes is just so powerful. It's a prayer all by itself. And when we need his power in our life, it's pretty simple. We can just ask for it because Jesus has the victory and we want to live with that victory in our lives every day. Amen? Amen? And I like a quote here from Scott Peck. The devil was defeated at the moment Christ died on the cross. And while it doesn't seem that way, that when we're fighting with the forces of evil, it's essentially a mop-up operation. Satan's basically on the run. Peck doesn't even call the devil a he, but rather an it, because sex and gender are a good gift of God's creation. And so it doesn't fit a demon or an evil spirit. And I like that. And friends, I just want to say as many times as I can that Jesus has the victory over all the evil forces in the world. We just need to reach out for it and he'll give us that power. And this leads us right into the next focus for this morning, that Jesus didn't focus on signs and wonders. I'm kind of amazed in this story specifically. Scripture records them, but we can see it even in this one. After completing such an impressive miracle of power, Jesus doesn't do a mic drop and leave the scene with a dramatic effect. No, he's at the center of the action. He's focusing on what's the most important, that victim whose life has been saved. And verse 35b is so touching to me. When they, that is the people, came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And Jesus was there with this man. Jesus shows his heart. Even in such an act of power, Jesus cares most about the man himself. Jesus loves. This is indeed a work of healing. I know exorcisms are flashy. We all love to hear stories of God's power. My missionary grandparents the great-grandparents in China, they had some. One time a woman became a Christian there in one of their services. And at that exact same moment, back in her house, I don't know how many miles away, a statue of Buddha fell off the mantle and hit the ground. And her husband, who is not a Christian, testified this is the case, even to the hour, because he was in the house and he heard it and he went to go see what was happening and nobody was in that room. And so when she came home, he asked her, did something happen? Did you do something? And he realized, did you give your heart to Jesus? And she said, yes. And he said, I knew it. He was not happy about it. And we love to hear stories like that. But the truth is, we need to be careful about seeking after signs and wonders for their own sake. All major revivals have had some of these signs and wonders, like First and Second Great Awakening, Edwards, Wesley, and Finney all were originally enamored with signs and wonders. Some of them even sought them. But by the end of their careers, these ministers saw the damage that comes of that way of thinking. Both Wesley and Finney just had denounced the whole priority of signs and wonders. And Edwards himself was actually chased out of his congregation by people who continued that pattern. The truth is, God's greatest act of power is transforming the human life. And that's what we focus on. And I don't want to name any names here today, but I just want to say, be careful about ministers and churches who seek the supposed signs of Jesus' power rather than what the power is for. Beware of those who would rather see the work of God in a miraculous display than see followers of Jesus become like him. This is not seeking the kingdom or the king, but only his power. And we want to seek after the Lord. Just imagine if Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 14 decided they liked being treated as Zeus and Hermes. You know, because the miracles they were doing there, they were appreciated. And so all of a sudden they were being treated as Zeus and Hermes. Just imagine if they would have liked that. Or just imagine if Moses would have just started hitting rocks anytime he wanted water because he really liked that power. You might remember what happened when Moses hit the rock the second time for water. The power of God is for God's own purposes, and he offers it for our good. And this leads very, very naturally into the third point this today, which is really just a second. It's a restatement of the second one, and that is that Jesus heals. That exorcism is a kind of healing. This man wasn't just freed of evil spirits. He was healed. He was made whole. His mind, his body, his heart, his relationships, those things were healed. Even his purpose and his future was healed when God transformed his life. He was redeemed. And that's what God's work is for. This man even wanted to become another disciple, a 13th disciple of Jesus. That sounds a little unlucky, but lots of people came to Jesus to be a disciple. And Jesus lovingly redirects him. He had a mission for him in his hometown. Jesus calls him to utilize the spiritual healing he has to live as a light there in the area, Decapolis, among his own people. And by God's grace, he went. And Jesus desires to heal us, all of us. In the case of those tormented by the inner presence of evil spirits, Jesus gives healing, beginning with exorcism. Now, I know a lot of people wonder about the pigs. What's the deal with the pigs? What's up with the pigs? The Jews didn't really care about pigs. Pigs were unclean. But a lot of people ask why the pigs had to die. And I wonder just a little bit differently. Who or what killed the pigs? It was the demonic presence in them that killed the pigs. Those neighbors who sent Jesus away, they cared about the pigs, but not the man. Really, would they rather those demons go back in the man? Would they rather they were free to go somewhere else? It's a pretty astonishing thing. Jesus vanquished them. He healed this man. He restored. Those villagers saw the power, but didn't really see what it was for. But we can see. And we can live with that mindset that Jesus had, because we need that power amongst us. A lot of us get tormented in a lot of ways. The evil one likes to remind us of our past, for instance, to accuse us of being things we're not, or exaggerating our weaknesses and ignoring the fact that in Christ, we have the victory. So the evil one pesters us and tries to turn our attention away from all of that. But Jesus turned lives around. Jesus forgives. Jesus makes our sin our past. Jesus gives us to be people we've never been before. Jesus strengthens our weaknesses and then grows our strengths. And he offers us a tremendous future through redemption. Let's not lose sight of any of that. 1 Peter 5 says something about the evil one. I appreciate this. Verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to desire. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. And verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. We're not promised a life without troubles, but we are promised a conqueror and a comforter. In Jesus, we celebrate that. I was moved by a testimony from a pastor friend of mine in Wyoming. Pastor Bryce Roberts was for decades on the Wind River Reservation. He had a deliverance ministry there. Many Native folks came to him, often because they heard of his miracle of deliverance with so many people. And one of his stories I appreciate, he met a homeless man who helped wash his car. He was on all kinds of drugs in his life, he later found out. And so the man ended up contacting Pastor Bryce through someone that they both knew. And because Bryce trusted this contact, he invited that person to come out to his church and eventually to his home, spend a week with him. And he talked with him and he shared the gospel with him and he prayed with him and he asked the man if he wanted to be freed of demons. And one by one, many evil presences in him were cast out. It took multiple times in prayer. And he would ask him if he wanted to be released from the evil spirit, and the man agreed, because just like it takes our permission for evil spirits to come into us, it also takes our permission for them to be cast out. We have to want that and ask for that. One by one, they left, and finally there was one left. But this young man wanted to go to Denver. And I didn't hear Pastor Bryce say this, but I just imagine like my heart, like, don't go. We're almost done here, don't go. But he left and he went. And it was, I don't know how many weeks, but it was a period of time before he heard from this young man again. And the man called him. And Pastor Bryce was so excited to hear he could talk in a regular conversation. He had a full focus of mind. He was normal. And he asked what had happened. And the man told him that his grandma has a deliverance ministry and he went back to be with her and he gave his heart to Christ and the last of the demons was kicked out of him and he served with his church family now and in their homeless ministry and he was even going to a college. He had enough focus and presence of mind that he could go to college classes and learn there. And so what a beautiful testimony of a man being freed from the powers of the evil one. I just love that story. We can celebrate our God's victory over all the evil forces. And we can walk in the victory Jesus gives. And the greatest miracle God performs this side of heaven, I believe, is the transformation of the human life. Heart, mind, body, and soul. And so we give ourselves to that work. That's why we exist as a church. To grow in him and lead others in love to him. To follow him together. And we celebrate that. I'm excited to spend a few weeks on God's word for healing with us in the weeks that come. And I just want to share with you quickly about that. Next week, I believe Jesus gives mental wellness, and I'm so excited to talk about that with you guys. Peace and the care that he gives. And 2 weeks is going to be really important. I want to end that with a time for anointing for healing. The scripture says that when we want healing, we are to ask the elders of the church. And so you guys can ask at any time, but of course I want to give a time for it. July 16, that's in 2 weeks. And so I want to invite to pray. And also any of us here who are prayers, real prayers, to pray for that Sunday, to ask for God's special presence and to fast however God would call you to fast for that. And then a couple more weeks about healing because there's just a lot to look at in scripture. And I want to draw your attention in the bulletin. There's a little half sheet of paper. I want you to pull that out if you would. And if you guys share a bulletin in your family, I want to say there's more on the welcome table. There's little slips of paper in there for each of us so that we can, this moment, this day, respond to God's word as we're starting this journey in healing, to pray and ask God for healing. If there's any area in your life that needs healing, this is a way that we can ask for that healing. On that piece of paper, just write what you'd like healing for. You can put your name on there if that's helpful. I just want to ask if any would like to today, when we pray and when we sing, if you want to put that prayer for healing in this little picture right here, or you can put it in the offering plate or the giving boxes we have here in the church. Just want to give opportunity. Maybe you'd like prayer for healing physically or emotionally, or the healing of your story, redemption, or authenticity, or wholeness. Healing for a family member, or reconciliation with a friend maybe. Just whatever area of healing you feel God is asking or is offering today. The point is that we pray for each other. And I want to, when we're done, I'm going to gather these up and I'm going to share these to the couple prayer teams that we have so that people can be praying over this during this time. And I just want to invite us all as a congregation in this time, this month or so, to pray for healing for ourselves and for each other. There's so much that God wants us to do, and I just believe it wholeheartedly. I want to give a chance for that. Let's bow our heads and just in this moment, ask God, if there's anything, Heavenly Father, you desire to heal in us, or anything that we just desire, we don't even know if it's right to ask. We don't know, Lord, but we just want to ask you for healing. Show us that, Heavenly Father. Because we want to turn that thing to you. We want to request it. There's a lot of times in Jesus' life and ministry where he would ask someone who's clearly lame or clearly has something physical going on, and yet Jesus looks them in the eyes and asks them, what would you like? And Lord, as you ask that of us, thank you for all the healing you offer. And Lord, we know not everything will be healed this side of heaven. Lord, we won't live forever this side of heaven, and yet when we pray, Lord, it's amazing the healing that you do. And so we ask together as a congregation, Lord, folks here today and those at home, we ask for your healing for us. We ask in faith and in Jesus' name, amen.